What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another installment of Dojo Talks. I'm your host, Toby Prime, as always. I hope everyone doing well. I'm currently recording this on a Friday. I think it's November 4th, but who really knows at this point? Life is just going by so quick. It felt like 2021 started so long ago, but it's already the Thursday of the year already. Correction, it is November 5th, but anyways, we keep moving on. Hope everyone's doing well. I had a great day, great week. But yeah, we're going to get right into it. We have a really exciting episode today. I have a special guest, but before I introduce him, I just wanted to say, before we get into this episode, we're probably going to be talking about Penn State football. It's going to be more of like a sports episode. So if anybody's really interested in the more lifestyle and kind of thing, it's going to be more sports oriented. I know I haven't really released an episode about that in a while, so I hope all the fans who have been waiting are ready for that. So without further ado, I have a guest here today. I met him in a random freshman year class with like 700 kids, and ever since that day, we've been pretty good friends, and now we both are writers for Onward State. So without further ado, Adam Babetsky, how we doing, Adam?
What's going on, guys? It's Adam, here to chop it up with T-Fom on Dojo Talks. As Toby said, I've known him for a hot minute at this point. You know, we're getting to that point. Juniors here at Penn State, we kind of know a thing or two about what's going on around campus, what's going on sports-wise, whatever, and just going to be here and share some opinions like I always do.
Yeah, you know, student opinions. You know, we're not experts, at least yet. Not yet. We're both going to be. Little prefaces about Adam here. He's the same age as me, broadcast journalism. He's actually done some really cool things. Like, you were in the Little League World Series this summer, right? You covered some
of
that?
That's right. I covered the Little League World Series back in August, and that was a lot of fun. Just sort of happened. Went through the comm school. And it was really something. You know, they had hardly any fans there because all those restrictions and stuff, but I was in the stands and I was watching all of these games go down. And it was just crazy seeing these kids go out there and play. There were major leaguers that showed up, the whole thing, and it was a pretty cool experience. I got to cover it for the Associated Press, wrote a bunch of articles for them, and that's a good place to have your byline.
Yeah, AP. Yeah. What was like your favorite part, I guess, of the whole shebang, the whole Little League World Series?
I think it was that one day where they were doing the Little League Classic, which is a major league game, and the Angels and the Indians showed up at the park, and Mike Trout was out there walking around just saying what's up to the kids and stuff and giving them life advice and whatever. And it was crazy because I actually had to walk through a bunch of these players in order to get to the media access parts, and we're just, you know, just milling about, you know, just looking for things to do. And it was like, yeah, just hanging out with the players. That's a lot of fun.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. So the main reason why I brought Adam here today, and the first segment we're going to get into for this episode, is none other than Penn State football. You know, we're on a 3-game losing streak after arguably like one of the better starts in recent memory, at least for me, for Penn State football. Like, I mean, we take down Wisconsin and we take down Auburn. Both are good teams. They're both ranked now. I know they got out of the ranking. A lot of people were trying to discredit those wins from us. But then we lose a tough game on the road after our quarterback, Sean Clifford, got hurt. Then we lose one of the record-breaking games against Illinois going into 9 overtimes, which, by the way, I was there for the whole game. That's a flex. I was there for the whole game. And then we lose just another game last weekend to Ohio State. But I guess just for starters, how do you feel at this point in the season? Of course, this is, I don't know when this episode is going to go out. I hope it goes out before the Maryland game so we don't act like fools. But how do you feel about this football team now and for the game this Saturday?
Yeah, I've got bad news. You know, I've tried to be an optimist this year. I really thought that this might be a year we actually do something. I just sort of liked what I was seeing. You know, this team is going to come back with a vengeance after last year, which I don't really even think counted that much. You know, we had some pretty bad losses, but there was nobody there to see it. So if nobody saw it, doesn't count. But God, this has been one of the most disappointing Penn State seasons that I've ever watched. And my dad's an alumni, so I've been watching Penn State football long before I came here, right? So I saw some pretty bad years. We were playing on a bowl ban. You know, we were winning like 6-7 games. Mm-hmm. But this year, we started out ranked. We made it all the way up to, I think, number 4. And then the wheels just fell off. And I think the exact moment where the season turned, I think anybody tell you this, is when Sean Clifford got hurt against Iowa. Because we would have won that game. We would have won that game had Clifford stayed in. And everybody found out later, Iowa is a very overrated team. They got destroyed right after that a couple times. But when Clifford came back, he was, you know, looked off against Illinois. He was clearly not right again. And we lost that game too. Ohio State, I expected. But now, you know, we're down to 5-3. And we've still got two really tough games left. We could be looking at like 7-5 in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And that's just, that's not what I thought or what most people thought going into this year. So it's been a pretty rough time.
Yeah, it's so fun. I was thinking more Charmin Ultra Softball. Okay. But maybe I'm going to be an okay or not. But no, I think you're right. I mean, we could nitpick every single little detail about every single game, but I think really the biggest question here is Sean Clifford. Now, I'll be honest. Ever since I was a freshman, Sean Clifford has been my quarterback. I support Penn State football. Penn State football, I arguably one of my favorite events and teams to cheer for. I'm always for Penn State football. But this might be a hot take. This might be a cold take. Within our onward state, I feel like this is a hot take. But I do not like the big red dog. I'm going to repeat that. I do not like Sean Clifford, the big red dog. And here's why. Sean Clifford, to me, he's the perfect quarterback to have. Why is that? Because he makes great plays, but he also makes bad plays. But some of those great plays are completely better than what the bad plays is what he makes. So a lot of people are like, you know, Sean Clifford, he's always a dog. He's always beasting. Like he does do that work. I have to be honest. I wouldn't want any other quarterback on the Penn State roster to be our starter other than Sean Clifford. But Sean Clifford, if you look at his lows, it is low. It's low, man. And he, it seems like year in and year out, he makes the same mistakes and he gets too cocky. And that's just one of the biggest things I don't really like about Sean Clifford. It was like that one interview. He was like, you know, some people like to go out after a big win and party, whatever. I like to go home and watch film. Bro, there's countless videos of you at Champs downtown partying and all of that. Yeah. Don't try to act all Hollywood. Like, you're really not that big. Like, sure, he might get, if he were to leave this season, maybe he might get drafted. He did have a good year, and a lot of people can be like, hey, he was hurt during those games against Illinois and maybe even Ohio State. But I just, maybe a fifth-round pick, that's just me being generous. I don't see anything good about the big red dog, and I really don't like him, and I don't want him to come back next year because I'm pretty sure he has that COVID eligibility year that he could come back. I just want that Drew Allar kid to come back. I don't know. What do you feel about the big red dog?
All right. Sean Clifford, you know, my opinion on him has kind of changed over the years. I used to root for him kind of ironically, 2019, the first year he was a starter. Like, hey, man, I'm going to hype up Sean Clifford because other people thought he sucked. And I was like, you know, I'm gonna be the opposite voice here. I'm going to be like, Sean Clifford's great. And we were pretty good that year. So, you know,
that was his best year, right? Statistically speaking, our freshman year, 2019. Yeah, I was looking it up. That was like, at least quarterback rating wise, it was his best year.
It was defensible. You know, last year was not so defensible. But right now, I think Sean Clifford is better than he's ever been, which is good for him considering, you know, he's now like, what, 23 years old? Like, you have to have developed at that point if you're going to get drafted and go in the NFL. Sean Clifford is a good college quarterback. I think most teams in the country would be lucky to have him. You know, he'll get you to a bowl game. He'll probably get you to a pretty good one. He's got a good connection with Dotson. So it's, you know, always good that he's supporting the best wide receiver and just not hanging him out to dry. But Sean Clifford is not a quarterback that's going to win you a national championship. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be on a natty team.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Allar might be.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Clifford has another year of eligibility next year, like Toby said. And if it comes down to that and he decides to come back, he should not be starting. So I recommend that he just goes into the draft this year because Drew Allar is the highest rated quarterback recruit in the country. This kid is supposed to turn around the entire program. He's like the crown jewel of James Franklin's recruiting. He's the best recruit he's ever gotten, even better than Saquon Barkley. That's nuts, right? Allar would be like what Deshaun Watson was for Clemson, where he showed up, he took him to the next level. He won the national championship, and then Clemson, you know, became like this superpower thing. Penn State is there. They're loitering. You know, they have enough talent to be a top 10 team, but they're not quite there. And I think the missing piece is Alar. If Sean Clifford comes in next year, you're wasting a year of having Alar on the roster. So, you know, with all respect to Sean Clifford and what he's done, this needs to be it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I want to unpack there. I think what you said, yeah, this is obviously Franklin's best commit. And I think if you look at other programs, what separates them? Like, of course, Penn State, we're probably always going to get, like, very good linebackers, a few good running backs. We're going to get, like, those positional players, but we're not going to, like, be on that level. Like you said, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia. What separates them? I think that's a good point. Quarterback. Once you can have that quarterback and you can show that, like, a really good quarterback can thrive in the system and they can make it to the playoffs, that's what ramps you back up, and that's what Drew Alar will do. But the only thing is that, like, if Sean Clifford decides to stay back, my biggest concern is I think Penn State is going to be like, yep, you're our starter. I think Coach Franklin's going to run it back one more. I just think that's who Franklin is. Franklin knows, and I hate that. I know you're smiling over there, and you're like, nah, I don't think so, and I hate that. And I don't think Sean Clifford has a big enough draft stock for him to be like, yes, going to the league would be my best thought. So then what happens? He stays at Penn State. My belief is they'll probably start him, and that could be a really big turnoff for Drew Alar. I don't know how close he is with Sean Clifford. I'm sure they are. They're both from Ohio. Whatever, that might be a little connection, but it might piss him off that he's a five-star recruit and he's not getting a start or whatever. But if Sean Clifford, I think honestly, Sean Clifford should just transfer if he wants to stay another year. Transfer, like same what Will Levis did. Go to Kentucky, like go to some D1 school, but and just pack your stats. You know, go to the ACC. You know, I think Kenny Pickett might stay another year. I know my brother out there, Tanner, might be like, yeah, Kenny Pickett for Heisman, screw off for that moment right now. But go to the ACC so you have no opponents and just pack your stats up for the draft if you really want to go there. I just think I'm done. I'm done with the Clifford era. That's just personally how I feel. Bring on Drew Alar. I don't even care if we have the same record last year or this year that we have next year with Drew Alar. I would just much rather see that young prospect get used to the system and turn the new page of Penn State football under the Coach Franklin era, personally.
See, the one thing you said was that you don't think Franklin's going to be starting Alar next year if Clifford decides to come back. But Franklin has already experienced what it's like to lose a five-star recruit at quarterback, Justin Fields. Justin Fields committed to Penn State after the 2016 game against Ohio State, and then he dropped off. But I think it's super important when it comes to this situation because Franklin's experienced that. That's got to be horrible because mm-hmm. Fields would have been that school-altering quarterback.
With Saquon.
Right.
Imagine that.
We would have had Fields and Ohio State wouldn't have. And you put Fields on the Penn State team that blew that huge lead the following year, lost by 1 point in 2018. Penn State's winning both of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State becomes the power in the Big Ten. Franklin is not going to waste this opportunity with Alar. He's going to want to get as many years out of him as possible. Alar's so good, he might be the type that only plays like 2 years before he goes into the NFL because he's just, you know, the number one quarterback in the country. So Franklin, yeah, I think it's in his interest to start Drew Alar.
I would agree. I that's what I would hope to happen. I just don't know with Franklin, but that's another question for you. What are your thoughts about Franklin? You like him?
Franklin has been around for a while, and you have to consider what he took over. You know, Bill O'Brien was the previous head coach, and in Franklin's first season here, 2014, that was the first year back where we could play in a bowl game, and I think we went 7-6 that year, and I remember being super excited. We beat Boston College in the Pinstripe Bowl in overtime. And like 2 years later, we're winning the Big Ten championship and we're going to the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly Franklin, I mean, we're about to pop off anyway. We're getting good recruits back. But how quickly Franklin took that program from mediocre and coming off. I mean, people wanted the death penalty on Penn State football a few years before Franklin showed up. And within 5 years of the scandal of 2016, he takes us back to being a national contender again. We've stalled at the doorstep of getting up into the top group with what I call the boys, Ohio State, Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, Notre Dame, the ones that consistently are in the playoff, and you could just pick some permutation of those that group, and that's going to be your four. And we haven't quite cracked that, but when you consider there are like 120 Division I college football teams, and we're talent-wise in the top 10, we're really close. You know, it's not like we're some mediocre team. So for all the people like, you know, Franklin needs to leave, blah, blah, Franklin should go to USC. First off, I don't know why God's name go to USC.
Yes,
USC is a friggin' disaster. But Franklin could be that guy. And I think we need to have that combination of Franklin and the guy he recruited, Alar, on the team. And then we'll see if it works. And if it doesn't work, then we'll have a, you know, another discussion a little bit down the line. But this is his chance to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to punt the rest of this year. We suck, I know. Try again next year. But next year is really, I think, the most pivotal year he's had so far.
No, I agree with that. Like, so many people on Twitter and, like, even my own mother. Mom, I know you're going to listen to this. But even my own mother was like, fire Franklin, whatever. I'm like, no, like, Franklin is everything you want in a college football coach when it comes to understanding the environment, like understanding the like the program and the message. He is beautiful for that. I love his Twitter. I saw him on campus a few times. He's such a bright, like that's why I like this Minka Shrewsbury guy, our basketball coach. He and Franklin give me like the same kind of vibes of like, hey, like I'm embracing a Penn State community. You guys are just like me and I'm just like you. Like, yeah. I love that. And I think he does a very great job with recruiting and getting people on board with the program. My only knock on Franklin is when it comes down to close games and making big play calls, I don't think he has the knowledge, or maybe not the knowledge. I don't think he, what I'm trying to say is he can't perform under that pressure.
He doesn't have the killer instinct.
He doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't. Like a lot of the other college football coaches that they have is like when game comes down to the line, they know what to do and they know what plays to call. There's just been so many brain farts, I feel like, of big plays for Penn State, and they run like a screen or a run on like 4th and 7 or like whatever. I just feel like, especially with the talent that we have on our offense, our defense, by the way, I just want to preface this, defense best in the country. They don't do anything wrong. Our defense is absolutely killing it. Shout out Joey Porter Jr. Shout out Jaquan Brisker. Shout out all those guys. Joey Porter's in my Cast 100 class. So hopefully one day I'll have him on the pod, but we digress. I just feel like Franklin, when it comes down to play calling, he's like a C+. Everything else is A minuses for him. I just feel like when it comes down to when you really need to win football games, Franklin is either I'm gonna knock this out of the park or strike out swinging. Yeah, like, it's tough to watch at times.
He freezes up in the worst possible spots sometimes where he just refuses to take a risk and he gets really conservative. Even when he'd been playing like fast and loose the whole game, when it comes down to it and he has to make like a snap decision, sometimes he just freezes up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just like, you know, we're going to punt here instead of going for it on this 4th and short. It's like, oh, you're on their side of the field. He's like, no, we want to pin them deep. No, you got to try to lock this up, right? And I think you kind of saw that happening against Illinois. He just kept playing conservative, punting it back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
We had no business losing that game. And he just refused to make some calls in certain places because he was so scared to death of losing in regulation that we ended up losing in overtime. And, I mean, what was the difference other than an extra hour?
So exactly.
You got to just go for it sometimes.
That game also made me think, how do you feel Roberson would have did in that game? I know he struggled against Iowa, and honestly, I don't want to hate the kid because I want to see anybody else go out there in the most hostile environment at Iowa. Anybody would choke. That's your first game playing, so I don't blame Roberson for that loss against Iowa at all. I think we lost that, and Iowa did not win that. Penn State lost it just because of injuries, but I think Roberson having that bye week off, I think. Honestly, I was hoping Sean Clifford would have sat out and you would have gave Roberson a chance to start at his own home field with like 2 weeks to prepare, but they didn't. So how do you think Roberson would have played during that game?
I am very much not sold on Roberson. I looked at how he played against Iowa and I thought it was pretty suspect. First start and all, but I mean, he looked like a deer in the headlights. Like he just completely lost control of the fundamentals. And when you're a quarterback in a big game, this guy's taking reps alongside Sean Clifford the whole year. You know, They're blasting the sound in his ears when they're at practice in Beaver Stadium. He should be prepared for that kind of environment. And I get that. The one thing that he would have added that Clifford wasn't able to do is the mobility. Roberson would have been able to run all over the place because he's fast. And Clifford was clearly hurt when he was playing. So he wasn't running at all. Sometimes Clifford will, you know, like run for 20 yards or something if he sees an opening. But Roberson is more of a Lamar Jackson style. You know, he's going to be looking to run about half the time. And he would have maybe been able to, you know, catch Illinois by surprise sometimes because Illinois is not a good team. So maybe, you know, they would have had that element with it. And Clifford also, his arm is like 10 times better than Roberson. Who would get in here? But Clifford was not throwing deep balls in that game. So actually, I'm kind of talking myself into this because I think my answer is still going to end up being Clifford was a better choice. But like, Roberson at least would have had a week to prepare for it. I think you either would have had Roberson at his best. Yeah, so basically, I think this is a question of would Roberson at his worst been better than Clifford at his best?
Yeah, and the only reason why I brought up that talk was just because when we tried to run our little own Penn State special there in overtime, I felt like even at that play, they should have threw in Roberson. Because like if Sean Clifford's hurt, like he was wide open. I don't know if you saw that play. Clifford was wide open for that touchdown to really seal the, or I guess 2-point conversion at that point of the game. But like you put somebody that is as athletic as Roberson or whatever, and to kind of like quote unquote redeem himself in front of all the Penn State fans. That's the only reason why I said that. I think you are right. I think Clifford's worst is definitely, I wouldn't say way better, but I'd definitely say better than Roberson's best. But I just thought I'd bring up that talk to just kind of see what you had to say about that. But no, that's about like 30 minutes talking about Penn State football. I hope you guys really enjoyed that. We're going to move on to the professional level because there's been a lot of interesting things that happen around the league. I guess for starters, you want to talk about Ruggs, Henry Ruggs a little bit. Yeah, you got your hands on your head. Come on, talk your thing, Adam.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Henry Ruggs, man. That, I mean, first of all, it's a sad story, right? You know, that poor woman just probably didn't even see him coming. Like, that, he was going 156 miles an hour. I don't even think my car can go that fast.
I mean,
you've got to be driving a crazy expensive car to be even getting to those levels. But Ruggs deserves what he gets, pretty much, if it's, you know, enough of a punishment. I mean, this guy is just beyond reckless. Beyond reckless. You can't, you know, there's an accident and then there's going. If you're going 156, it sort of stops being an accident and starts being like you don't really care what happens as a result of what you're doing. I don't care how drunk he was. That was his choice. Nobody made him drunk, right? He got in the car. He went that fast. 100% of the blame lies with him. And, you know, they say that there's jail time for that. I think he deserves it, yeah.
I don't think I could say it any better myself. The one thing I do want to take away, though, is with everything going on, the Raiders organization has been a mess. I don't know if it starts with the AB signing or goes back even further, but one thing I do want to say is that Derek Carr, I've gained a lot of respect for that man, and here's the reason why. You go through AB, you go through the stuff with John Gruden, and now you go through the stuff with Henry Ruggs. This man has been nothing but a leader for that locker room. I know he said something like, Henry Ruggs texted me today, he just needs love right now, show love, whatever. To me, personally, no. I think you're right. You're going 100 miles an hour. I went 100 miles an hour one time just because I was like, you know, I got to hit the triple digits just because or whatever. But then I eventually slowed down. It was on a highway. It was on a bridge. No cops were following me. Whatever. We digress. But Henry Ruggs deserves, to me, and I think you too, no sympathy. You're going 150 miles per hour. You're drunk. You're not even caring about anything that's going on around you. But Derek Carr, like, whether you love him or hate him as a quarterback, he has been such an exceptional leader as far as being a quarterback of a team that has been through so many adversities. And he's been, like, cool, calm, collected. He's like, yep, whatever, this happens, we keep going. I'm going to ride with the guys who I have right now. We're going to keep on playing a football team. They're number one in their division right now.
Yeah.
That's a tough-ass division. I mean, granted, Patrick Mahomes is also in that division. He's also struggling this year. So maybe that's part of the reason why they're number one. But I just have to give a big props to Derek Carr. I've never really been a big fan of his play. I don't really think he's as good as people think. But off the field and even on the field, as far as leadership-wise, I really have to respect that man and how he's kept on going, because he could blow up easily. He could be like, no, trade me, screw this organization. But no, he's all about, I guess, Las Vegas at this point. So I got to tip my hat to him. That's all I got to say.
I think there's a lot of value in being a team leader along with being a quarterback, because if your quarterback is good but he's not a team leader, then, you know, he's not quite as valuable to the team that way, right? If he's putting up numbers and he's not, you know, looking out for his guys, he's not keeping everybody's heads up when they, you know, they have a bad game or something. The quarterback's supposed to be the leader on the field. That's not how the sport started, but that's how it is now. If you don't have a good quarterback all around, you're not going to be a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate. It all hinges on one guy, and Carr's got the weight of the world on his shoulders, all those things going on, right? And through it all, he has led them, and you can tell he's a leader when he talks. He has led them to a winning record, and they're currently in first place. And, you know, it's halfway through the season. We're going to see if it holds up. But so far, I think you've got to owe a lot of that to him for, you know, the Raiders not cracking yet and falling apart. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Derek Carr lose one wide receiver. He could gain another one in Odell Beckham, who was just released by the Browns. I know you like that transition. But I was talking to my roommate earlier today. I think Odell Beckham should go to the Raiders. I think that's perfect for him right now. Unless you have another team for him, obviously he's going to get signed by a team. It's Odell Beckham Jr. He's a talent like no other. I know he's been dealing with injuries, and I know he's low-key like AB 2.0 with how much trauma that right. he brings to a team. And also, like, another take my roommate said, he was like, well, you look at AB. AB was John McQueen, but he still makes it work in Tampa Bay. I'm like, that's because AB is, like, butt buddies with Tom Brady. He's, like, in love with that man, and he'll do whatever he can to be on a football team, you know, and be successful. But I don't think – unless you can argue a different point, I think the best situation for Odell Beckham would to be Raiders, because they are a Super Bowl contending team. I would think also Chiefs would be good. I don't know. What are your takes? Where do you think Odell should go from here?
I think wherever Odell signs, the other 31 teams are going to be winners of that transaction.
Look,
and the reason I say that is because you mentioned he's like AB 2.0. I am a Steelers fan. I lived through the original AB. And, I mean, first of all, Odell Beckham is not half as talented as AB is. I mean,
agree.
You just look at their numbers and compare it.
No, 100%.
AB is practically a Hall of Famer at this point. Odell is probably going to end up being forgotten about outside of his rookie season. But Odell is just not worth it. He's 100% drama. And at this point, he's very little production. I mean, this is a guy who was getting like 30 yards a game. And I know Mayfield was targeting other guys on the field. But Odell was catching like 50% of his targets. He was just – he brought down Mayfield's passer rating by, I think, 20 points when he was throwing it to him versus when he was throwing it to everybody else all 3 years he was there. It's a pretty big sample size. Odell is a drama queen. The talent doesn't match it. And I think in order to, like, rehabilitate him, get his head back on his shoulders to where he's valuing catching the football above, you know, using his dad to complain on YouTube or whatever that thing was, I'm gonna say it, and this might sound stupid. Tom Brady might be the guy. He's already got Antonio Brown under his wing. Do the Bucs need a fourth wide receiver? I don't know. But if Odell's looking, we're halfway through the year. I mean, how could you turn down a potential free ring the same way Brown did last year? We're halfway through the year. You know, if he catches on somewhere, he's going to have to start producing immediately. I don't think he can be that guy right now. But if he's a role player the rest of the year, that might be where he's best suited for just this year.
You know what sounds like almost amazing about that take is I think it would work out beautifully. Look at all those characters that are in that locker room.
I don't know how it works.
AB, Fournette, countless people on that defense right now. But it works. They won a championship and everybody is happy. Everybody, and like, that's the thing though. Yes, they do bring in these disgruntled players.
Right.
But how many cooks is it too much when you get into the kitchen? When you add Odell Beckham, how pissed off is AB going to get? How pissed off is Godwin going to get? How pissed off is Evans going to get? Now, granted, if there's one team that can make it work and if there's one player that can make it work, it's Tom Brady.
Right.
Like, I do like that take, and honestly, like, I could see it happening. I could literally see that happening. But I just think, like, when you have that much characters, and then even Fournette, too, they're going to take away from his reps, and he's on my fantasy team, so I've been following him this all year. He's been killing it.
Right.
But I don't know. That's a very great take, though. Like, yeah. I could honestly see him on the Bucks, dude. I could see him there.
I think the way it works out is when you have a good mixture of, like, good guys, and then you put a bad character in there, that sort of messes it up. But the Buccaneers, I think, have already passed a critical mass of divas. Yeah. You know? Odell's not even going to be the biggest diva in his locker room, okay? AB is the king of that castle. Nobody is going to be more controversial than that man. And yet he's still out there putting up numbers when he's on the field. I think if you put Odell in there, it might humble him a little bit. He's going to look around and see, I am the fourth most talented wide receiver on this team. He can't be the number one. I mean, look at the guys around him in that situation. And he's just going to be like, you know what? I'm gonna end up doing my part here, and I'm going to respect the system the Buccaneers have going. And maybe
win a ring.
Right.
Win a ring.
And, you know, if he gets his head right, next year he'll be back. You know, ready to compete, not focused on distractions, and then he could, like, reset his career.
Speaking of the NFC, have you seen the news about Aaron Rodgers?
Did you see the interview with Pat McAfee?
I didn't, but I did read, like, excerpts of quotes about him. lay it on me, because I'm not really that knowledgeable on it. I know
I'm
he
gonna
got.
Need to find it.
I know. All right. So to preface this, while he's looking up the interview, Aaron Rodgers. Arguably, I mean, he was last season's MVP, one of the greatest quarterbacks of our generation. I think the Green Bay Packers are on their own little last dance here because Aaron Rodgers, I think, made it pretty clear, if not like a diva, little low-key kind of clear, that this is his last season as a Green Bay Packer. They lost their first game of the season, but since then, Aaron Rodgers has been lights out, and they've won the rest of their games. But Aaron Rodgers was recently... Okay, sorry about that. My snowball mic just completely ate the bed, shat the bed there, and it just won't even work. So I had to cut off. So sorry if this sounds awkward. But basically what I was trying to say is that Aaron Rodgers basically just tested positive for the coronavirus. And I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, I know you have the quote up, but I think he said earlier that he had the vaccine, according to the NFL, but now... he doesn't have the vaccine. I know for sure now that he doesn't have the vaccine, but tell me about this Pat McAfee interview.
Yeah, so this whole thing is really weird, this whole situation. Yeah, he said he had the vaccine, but then it turned out he actually was, like, visiting some doctor who was giving him these, like, special prescriptions that were upping his antibody levels, if I got that right. He went to, like, some doctor, he paid a ton of money for it, and then it looked like he had the vaccine when they tested him because the antibodies were up. So... Rodgers is obviously at home right now. He's not playing. And he did an interview on Pat McAfee's show, I think, earlier today. And he just had a bunch of wild quotes. Like, he just popped off. He was not...
fire him off. I want to hear these, because I didn't hear this at all.
I mean, he was like, the right is going to champion me and the left is going to cancel me. I don't care about either of them. Politics is a total sham. I'm not going on Fox News, just like I'm not going on CNN. So that's a direct quote. And then he's also got... you know, this idea that it's the pandemic of the unvaccinated, it's just a total lie. If the vaccine is so great, then how come people are still getting this virus and spreading it? Personal health decisions should be private. He was going on like that. He just popped off. This was a long interview. Like, I'm not gonna find all the quotes. But he said some pretty, like, wild things. He's been talking about how he's been watching Joe Rogan. He's been taking ivermectin, all sorts of things, like these alternative supposed treatments or whatever. And... I mean, the thing I got to say about that is, ultimately, people don't have to take the vaccine. If I were a Packers fan, I would strongly encourage him to take the vaccine so he didn't have to sit out like this. He's not going to die. He's going to be fine. He's a healthy man. But at the same time, none of this needed to happen had he just taken the vaccine. He's gone on. I am no scientist. He's gone on and on about how we don't know X and Y about this vaccine or whatever. Aaron, it's a little bit too late, buddy. They've given the vaccine to like 3 billion people on Earth. So, you know, unless you're interested in being the last man standing and everybody else just craps out and you're the only guy left on Earth, that's not really a great situation either, is it? You're going to be back in the Neolithic age. So anyway, just take it. I think if we were all going to drop dead and or like, you know, turn into zombies or whatever, I think that would have happened by now. I've been vaccinated for about 8 months. So I'm not going to get in your ears saying, you know, you got to take it. I'm double vaccinated or whatever. But like, had you done that, there would have been no chance you were sitting out like this. You know, you might mess up your whole season. You know, you're one of the best teams in the league. I just don't know why you would jeopardize that. Mm-hmm. I get he's disgruntled with the Packers right now for other reasons, right? Mm-hmm. He's trying to get out of there. But I mean, if you're trying to prove to people that you're out there ready to win and you're showing, basically showcasing for your next team how much of a competitor you are, that's not really the way to go about it. I say this all, Aaron Rodgers is still at the top of my list for the Steelers quarterback next year.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're in on him heavy. I think we're the favorite. I want him. This is not going to stop me from wanting him to be the quarterback. Also knowing what Ben Roethlisberger's got on his ledger. So, you know, he needs to reprioritize what he's got going on right now. This is not going to get him very far.
So there's something I read, and he said this in the podcast as well. Like, I read an article, I skimmed it. And he said something about how the vaccines of Pfizer and Moderna, there's something in it that he's allergic to, like the mRNA, whatever. I don't know scientific terms, whatever. But he said that he was allergic, something in the vaccine, in both vaccines he was allergic to. He said he was open to doing Johnson & Johnson, but because that got disgruntled or people weren't really all about the Johnson & Johnson, he was like, okay, well, now I can't get the vaccine anymore. So, like, we're not pro or against getting vaccines. I just, like, obviously...
I'm definitely pro. I'm just not going to force it down anybody's throat.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm vaccinated, too. I've been vaccinated since May. Obviously, I'm just doing it for the greater good. I think everyone has the freedom to choose and do whatever they want in this country of America.
Right.
But when it comes down to what's good for the public good and what's good for me, I think people should do what is publicly good for them. That's why we don't speed on highways.
Right.
Like, that's why we don't like jaywalk and all that stuff, because it's for the public good. We don't want to kill anybody, whatever. So I do understand where Aaron Rodgers is coming, though, from with the allergic thing. How true is that? We may never know. But I do think it's an interesting situation, and you did bring it in with just all the past experiences about how he really doesn't want to be a Green Bay Packer anymore. Is it really because he doesn't want to get a vaccine, or is it really because he really just doesn't want to play on the football team and he's going to do everything that he can to just not play another snap for this organization?
My position is, when it comes to the vaccine, it's very simple. You don't have to take it, but if you don't take it, which is your right, if you don't take it, anything that's stupid that happens to you is your fault.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, 100%.
It's out there. You can go get it right now. It's out there. It's free.
It's free.
It's free.
It's free. That's why I don't get that.
I didn't pay a cent. It stung a little bit, but it was free.
And I also think it was good that, like, you brought it up earlier. It's like, yeah, people think it's, like, going to turn you a zombie or, like, all that stuff. That would have happened by now. Hell,
I feel fine.
And I don't like being political on this podcast, but I hate how everybody is, like, and this is more on the right, they're really trashing the vaccine. Bitch, oh, fucking Trump got that. Trump got the vaccine. What do you mean that you don't trust the vaccine?
He signed off on it. Yeah.
He signed off on it. This wasn't Biden. This was Trump who did all this.
I know.
Like, I don't get why the far right is so like, oh, screw the vaccine, you're in it, whatever.
You know, you say you don't want to be political, but it shouldn't be political.
It really shouldn't
be. This is one of those things where it's just like, I don't think anybody wants to keep talking about this. It's extremely boring, but Rodgers kind of brought it on himself.
Yeah, he did.
Just take it, bro. It's simple.
All right. You mentioned the Steelers, man. You really think we're getting Rodgers?
I do.
I'm a Steelers fan, as you guys all know, and my only problem is the money. I know we're going to have the most cap space.
I'm going to be paying him.
But what, you and your like $200 as a college kid?
Hey, man, I'll contribute. You know, if we all buy a minority stake.
Facts. I think as far as Steelers go, I think our number one priority this offseason, we locked up TJ. That's great.
Yeah, love TJ.
I think number one before Aaron Rodgers is Minkah Fitzpatrick.
We love Minkah too.
We need to sign that man. He needs to be a Steeler for life.
or at least for his prime.
As long as he's good.
As long as he's good, he can be a Steelers player. And I think he'll be good for a really long time. I think that man makes too many good plays, can read an offense completely so well, and he just provides so much to our squad that I think Minka is more of a priority for us this offseason than Aaron Rodgers is. But let's say we don't get Rodgers. What's the plan? Because, I mean, I've been hearing even talks that maybe Big Ben's not ready yet. Maybe he might come back next year. Do you want Big Ben next year? Do you want to try to draft? You're laughing already, so I know you want to draft somebody, start formulating. But I guess if you want a new quarterback, are you going to be okay with 2 years of kind of sucking? Well, not sucking. Mike Tomlin will figure it out. We'll be like a be like a 9-8, 8-9 team. You know, like we'll be around there, of course. But are you okay with that?
Here's the take. We have never had a losing season as long as Mike Tomlin has been the head coach. And I understand every year except one was with Ben, all continuous. But I want to point out that 1 year we didn't have Ben, we got an 8-8 record with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges.
Shout out Duck Hodges.
Yeah, shout out Duck Hodges.
Mason Rudolph. I'm glad Miles Garrett smacked him out.
All right, he's talking crazy.
Nah, I'm back, so I hate Mason Rudolph.
That might be your quarterback next year.
I'm going to throw up.
All right, so here's the thing. There are a couple factors here where, yes, I am okay with that because long-term, look, you can only stick with Ben for so much longer. That man's arm is like bone and gristle. He's broken every bone in his body. I don't know how he's still out there, man. I mean, this guy's got the body of an 80-year-old man. He's like 39. But – you know, if Ben is eventually just going to get decked one day and just maybe just die of natural causes, and you're going to need to put in the backup. You're going to need to put in the backup.
That's where Dwayne Haskins comes in. Bring me Dwayne Haskins. I don't want no Mason Rudolph.
I think Dwayne Haskins is better than Mason Rudolph, but they've been bullying poor Dwayne. They haven't been giving him any time.
They haven't, bro. He didn't look good in the preseason.
I understand that we traded for him, so it's not that bad bullying because he is on the team, but... I mean, come on, man. Ben Roethlisberger has done a lot for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But at the same time, he also needs to know when to call it quits. He is not Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be out here at 44 years old. He was washed up years ago. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be here anymore.
There's no amount of special diets that Big Ben could go on that he keeps proclaiming every year. No, man.
He starts doing the BB7 diet, the TB12. You know, it's probably like Primanti Brothers.
Seriously. He's probably ordering like the veggie Primanti Bros. Whatever.
The veggie? He's not ordering the veggie. He's ordering the meat lovers, bro. But Roethlisberger, man, he needs to go, and the Steelers need to draft somebody. So you've mentioned this person earlier. What about the hometown hero, Kenny Pickett? What do you think? What do you think?
So, Kenny Pickett, I'm not a fan. Okay. To put it simply,
I have not watched much Kenny Pickett.
I'm not a fan. I haven't much either, but in the games I did watch that man play, now look, would he thrive? I think so. Not the first year, maybe not the second. I think you've given some time to develop. I think Kenny Pickett could be a solid quarterback. But I think it just goes down to the end of the day. What has Kenny Pickett done in college that proves that he can show out in the professional level? And you know what that answer is? Nothing. Now, is that Pitt's fault? Maybe. But what we said, if you're a good quarterback, you can bring your team together through leadership and through skill and push through every adversity and whatever. So Kenny Pickett's also been there for a long-ass time for Pitt. Yes. A long-ass time. And you would think with that much time, they would at least put themselves somewhere in a discussion. They were there for a little bit this year.
Not bad.
Pitt's not bad. Pitt's not a bad thing. Yeah. Pitt's not a bad team, but like, if I had to sit through Kenny Pickett as our quarterback, as much as it would be great for him to be a hometown hero, that's why I like when James Conner came. I'm actually really upset that the Steelers didn't keep James Conner, although Najee Harris is very exciting. I'm really happy about that pick. I see your vision. I wouldn't be a happy Steelers fan, though. Would I still root for Kenny Pickett? Hell yeah, baby. Pickett for MVP, but I would not be about him.
Here's the bad news. if we don't like sign Aaron Rodgers, who I think is the only vet worth signing,
yeah,
we are not going to have the cream of the crop because we're going to finish with a good record. And that is the curse of being good. We're not going to get the first, second, or third quarterback off the board. So we're going to have to make do with somebody, you know, like late first round. I think that's where Kenny Pickett's slotted for right now. They're saying late first round. So I didn't pull Kenny Pickett out of thin air. I saw some websites predicting.
I saw that too. And it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. When I'm looking for a Steelers quarterback, I'm not the Ravens. I'm not looking for Lamar Jackson, you know, somebody with a noodle arm or whatever that's going to lead the team in rushing. I don't really care about the mobility that much as long as you're not Ben and you're like, you know, an Easter Island statue standing out there. But I am looking for somebody who is capable of completing a 50-yard pass to Chase Claypool. That is my
Mapletron.
Right. That is what I am interested in because you got to be able to complete those really deep balls because the Steelers have two fantastic wide receivers, Diontae Johnson, Chase Claypool, but they can't use them the way that they could be using them because Roethlisberger simply cannot throw the ball that far anymore. So he's forced to do all these dump-off passes for like 5 yards. Chase Claypool is built to run straight into the end zone.
Yeah.
That man is a burner.
Chuck it up.
That man is a burner, and he's going to be on the team for a long time, I think. He's a burner. We need somebody who can do that. Mm-hmm. Simple.
That's why I feel like DJ, the Diontae Johnson, does so well because that's all Big Ben can really do accurately and proficiently is those short little screen passes, short little slants, whatever. And that's what DJ is all about. I think DJ, I saw this on Twitter. I felt like this ever since he's been on the team. He's like AB 2.0.
Of course.
Now, he won't be what AB was because AB is AB. That's one in a generation. I don't know. I think that's one in a generation. But I think for as far as filling the role, like some Oakland Athletics ways, you know, like how they how they play the little money ball. It's okay. Like, well, we're not going to like replace our all-star player, but we're going to get players who do the same thing.
Right.
I think that's what DJ does. And that's why I really like him. That's why I really want him on the squad for a while. But I think you're right. I think Claypool, you have DJ doing a little short, little routes, a little quick, little elusiveness around. You have Claypool only for the wide receiver streaks. I forget what Madden play it was. I used to run it all the time. But it was basically like tight end would go out into like the flat. The wide receiver would come in for like a slant. But you had the other wide receiver just go straight down the field. And all the time, I throw that wide receiver straight down the field, and that's what Claypool's going to do. He's got the size, he's got the speed, and he's got the hands to do it. But Big Ben just doesn't have the arm to make it happen.
Man, there were games. I played the CPU in Madden, and I know that play you're talking about. Yep. I would just spam that play over and over again. I had somebody really fast, and I'd put up like 100 points.
Exactly. Like I forget what play it's called, but I'm glad you know what play I'm talking
about. I'd catch the punt on the 1 yard line and throw a 99-yard down the field. Right, I was unstoppable. But I think, you know, an interesting thing about Diontae Johnson, a little fun fact, they drafted him with the pick they used to draft Antonio Brown, or the pick they got from the Antonio Brown trade, I believe. He is the same height, he is the same weight, and he came out of an obscure school in Michigan. I think he went to Toledo, like Antonio Brown.
No way.
So no he is way. Antonio
he,
Brown,
he
too.
Was
yeah.
meant to be a Steeler then. Yeah. He was meant to be a Steeler. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, shit. What's going on with Penn State? I saw you're on Yik Yak. What's up with Yik? I was banned off Yik Yak. So what's going on for the people out there who don't know what Yik Yak is?
Yik Yak is not cluing people into what's going on on campus anymore. I feel like Yik Yak peaked in like September. You know, you were on there at that point.
I was.
It was popping off. People were getting their like Katie Feedy jokes off or whatever. And it was funny, right? You know, their Willard Preacher jokes. Baron. Right, throwing everybody in the mix. But, like, recently, it's kind of become, like, all right, the cops are already out. The cops are already out.
They're looking for me.
Right. Yeah, but recently, it's just sort of become, like, people just saying these things. Like, they're not that funny anymore. You know, everybody's like, you know, add me on Snap or whatever. It's like, I actually don't want to, right? You know, I got to scroll past this. We had a good day last week where, like, that dude, like, did a robbery downtown. I'm not saying that was good. No, but I'm saying the Yik Yak jokes were really good. They're like, you know, they're sending in the ROTC kids to go deal with this, right? This is their moment. That was good. But you know, when it started to get out of control, they said there were gunshots at the hub and the cops got freaked out. Yik Yak was wilding. But Yik Yak, man, you got to do a little bit better. I feel like Barstool sort of ruined that vibe they had going. They clued everybody in.
Basically, just if you guys are clueless, we're not going to talk about this a lot, but I know a lot of people are like, what the hell is Yik Yak? Yik Yak is basically like, I would say it's fully anonymous, and it's only people that are within like a 5 mile radius of you that can like, that you can see what they post. But it's fully anonymous, and it's kind of like Twitter. You could just post whatever you want. Nobody knows who you are, and you can like upvote it or downvote it. And I just, you know, I had a little bit too much fun with the anonymity with it. I don't know if that's the right word. Anonymity. The anonymous portion.
Anonymity.
Yeah. Anonymity, whatever. Everybody's going to flip that. They're going to roast me for that. But I just had too much fun with that. So I posted some pretty raunchy jokes. But I think what was wrong with me is that like I kept cursing in my thing. And they just automatically deleted it. But I would just keep posting it. And then eventually, like, I tried to go on it, and then they were like, yep, you, like, broke our guidelines, and I couldn't get on it anymore.
Wow.
But it's, like, really fun. Like, if you're in a college town or whatever, download Yik Yak. It's so funny because it's, like, basically every kid on like, a university has this, and they're so, like, it's so funny, and, like, you can just get yourself, like, lost in the sauce.
Right.
Just, like, scrolling through the feed of it. It's hilarious.
Right, and they say things like, only we'd understand.
Yeah,
just being on this like, campus. Like, you'd have to know.
This is not a, yeah, like, it's not, like, a grandma or whatever. Like, don't download it. Like, please, this is for the kids.
Don't show your mom.
Yeah, don't show your mom what's on. Don't show your mom what's on Yik Yak. All right, well, Adam, as we wrap up the show, like, I usually like to give the guests, you know, their opportune moment to say anything that's on their mind, maybe shout out their socials or anything, but this is just your platform right now. This is your world. I'm living in it. Oh, anything that we haven't talked about, anything you want to say to the people, say it to the people.
What do we have to tell the people? Well, you know, I got a Twitter account, Adam Babesky, right? Just put that in there. Give me a follow. I have an Instagram account under the same name. I do not have any posts on there. Mm. I don't intend to make any posts on there. It's just not really for me.
Mm.
But at the same time, you know, I think something that's important when you're doing these podcasts is you gotta speak your mind. You gotta tell people your real opinions. And a lot of people are afraid to do that. A lot of people like to, you know, be, with all due respect to X and Y, I have to, you know, they feel like they got, you know, somebody else gonna be listening, and they're kind of afraid of saying what they really think. If you think something, you just got to say it. I'm not saying to be like full Milo and just be a horrible person.
Yeah, we ain't going to get into that.
Right, but we don't need to get into that, but I'm like within reason, right? You know, it's important as a communications person. You know, I do that. Toby does that. You got to tell people what you really think. And that's an important life lesson. It's also another important life lesson I learned recently. You got to learn how to talk your way into things. Talking is such an important skill. You know, when you're in an interview and you kill it, that's going to get you a lot farther than however harder you're working when you're actually there. Like, you got to start off on the right foot with these people, and you got to talk your way into it. You got to build yourself up. A lot of people just doubt themselves. They got low self-confidence. They're out there looking to like random people for inspiration or whatever. Go find it, bro. Find it within yourself. You got to be out here trying to be your best self. That's what I think.
Mm. What a way to end it.
I know.
What a way to end it.
I got a little deep.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Dojo Talks. It's been Toby again. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys have a great weekend, great week, great month, great rest of the year. Hope to see you guys again next week, next Friday. Adam always beats me up about it, but I promise you, every Friday I'm going to release something. Might not be as long or as intensive as this episode, but we're going to keep it going for the rest of the year and for the years beyond. Adam, thank you again for joining me. It's been such a pleasure, such a good show. I appreciate you, man. Much love. Let's go. Peace.
Oh.
That was sick.